The South Australian Parliament has rejected the second bid to lift the ban on growing genetically modified crops in the state. While the decision has been well received by environmentalists, local scientists and farmers believe the ban deeply hurts the state's economy and agricultural research. Joined now by Professor Matthew Tucker in studio. He's a local scientist and the Deputy Director of Weight Research Institute at the University of Adelaide. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how does keeping the ban on genetically modified crops hurt local farmers and scientists?
Yeah, well, there's a few issues that I guess farmers and scientists face with regards to GM. And I think the most important one is for farmers and growers. So the GM technology gives them an option as part of their broader toolkit for growing their crops. And really that option has been taken away from them. It's not something they're going to make use of all the time, but it's something that they may need every 5 or 10 years. And so that's really what we're talking about here is depriving the growers of that technology. For scientists, you know, the GM technology is something we've been working on for a long time. We've got a pretty good understanding of how it works. But really we want the opportunity to test that technology and the new technology in the field. And we can do that now, but it requires a lot of, I guess, duplication of regulations. So we have to apply to the federal government and the state government. And really, if the moratorium was not in place, it would be easier for us to test some of our new traits and new technologies in the field.
And what are the benefits of sort of sowing these GM crops?
So there's a number of benefits. The main benefit is really as what we call a rotation option. So the growers don't just sow the same crop every year. You know, 1 year it might be canola, the next year it might be wheat and barley. So the canola, the GM canola provides them an option to actually get that in the field and reduce weed numbers is one really major advantage. Now that might only be done once every 5 years, but if you put that crop in there, reduce your weed load, it actually gives you great benefits for the following seasons for wheat and barley. And they're the most important crops for our state. You know, they're worth about $2.6 billion depending on the year. So it's really important to make sure we keep canola in our rotation strategy. Some of the other interesting things that are coming out of GM crops, particularly in terms of human health, there's the omega-3 canola, which has been developed by CSIRO. That's very close to commercialisation. This is something which has actually got high levels of omega-3 in it, which means we actually don't have to harvest that from our wild fish stock. So that's a really good option which is coming onto the market.
And you've been working on solutions to increase the salinity and drought tolerances of your crops. How challenging has this been for you?
Yeah, I think drought and salinity are real challenges that we face. And I think everyone can understand that in this day, based on the changing climate and the environmental challenges that we face just in our day-to-day lives. So look, there's been a lot of research which has been focused on addressing how we can make crops more resilient to drought and to salinity. And a lot of that's been done here in Adelaide, at the University of Adelaide, with partners around Australia and around the world. So it's a really important topic. Now, we have a couple of ways to address this. We can use GM technologies. We can also use traditional breeding approaches. But, you know, the benefits of GM in this case are unclear. We can show in glasshouses that we can protect plants against drought and salinity, and we can do some field trials. But really, we want to test them in our marginal soils. We want to be able to say that to growers, yes, we've been working on this technology. We can put it in a farm on this particular location or near this farm, and we can actually increase our yield or protect your crop from those stresses. So that's the opportunity that we'd like to have. We'd like to be able to test that more rigorously in the field. That's really important.
And some people who are against GM crops claim that their growth represents a serious risk for soil contamination. How true is that statement, and how is it possible to manage that risk?
Yeah, this is a really emotional topic, I think, when people think of their soil and what we're growing our plants in. And we have to be really careful about how we address how we might impact our soil. But I think there's a really important point here. Our farmers and our growers are actually the ones that need to make sure their soils are in good condition so that they can continue delivering the yields that they need to every year. So it's in their best interest to make sure that our soils are sustainably looked after. And I think the concerns about GM here are that, you know, perhaps we're going to put GM crops in the field year after year after year, and we're going to be spraying them with herbicides year after year after year. That's not the case at all. And that's not what's been happening in interstate, particularly in Victoria and Western Australia, where they use, say, GM crops as a weed management strategy. It may be that we actually only spray those crops once in 5 years. So the data actually suggests we're going to be using less herbicides if we put GM in. We're going to use them once, prepare the fields over a course of 5 years, and then... So in terms of damaging our soils, it's highly unlikely that that's going to be the case.
We're speaking with Professor Matthew Tucker, Deputy Director of Weight Research Institute at the University of Adelaide, about the consequences of keeping the ban on producing genetically modified crops in South Australia. Now, there's some really fundamental issues, I suppose, at the core of this debate, and I suppose people on all sides more or less want the same goal. But how much do you think politics and the politicisation of this debate has sort of shifted the conversation?
I have to be careful how I answer this. I'm not a politician, that's for sure. So you'd need to ask some of our MPs, particularly in the SA Best Party and the Greens, how they think this is a political topic. But from the outside, it does seem that politics has played a role. In general, you know, there's been quite a lot of support for this in polls that have been run locally, as well as through discussions with grower groups. They're very supportive of the technology, and I think we just need to make sure that we don't lose sight of the important thing here, and that is the benefits to our state and to our growers. South Australia's always been a leader in breeding technologies, in developing agricultural technologies, and we're really at risk of falling behind if we can't test our technologies in our environment and see how useful they're going to be. We miss out, and it's not just through researchers here and students who are learning about that research, it's also through investment, so from international and national companies. So we need to make sure we don't miss out on that, and I think the government understands that, and I think most of the parties do. It's just about getting this legislation right and making sure that, you know, everyone is protected from for their reasons. Yeah.
Well, Matthew, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks very much.
Professor Matthew Tucker, Deputy Director of Weight Research Institute at the University of Adelaide, speaking about the consequences of keeping the ban on genetically modified crops in South Australia.